Thank you so much. I tell you what, the music's been fabulous. I'm bringing some of this back to Napa. I think we're going to start having gospel music at our church. And so, I feel kind of intimidated. They led me in. They said, why don't you sit out here in the crowd before you speak, and we'll sit you by these bodyguards over here. I didn't know I was so dangerous. And then I found out later I was there to guard them. And so that's a blessing. So glad you're here today. I know you school kids have to be here. And if you'll forgive me, you adults, I'm going to gear the message mostly toward the high schoolers, junior highers, and the collegiates today. And we're going to ask all the old people to just kind of tune in. And so that's what we'll do. Some of you say, what'd you say? Exactly. And so Genesis chapter 2, if you would. It's interesting. This is my third message while here. I've never left the book of Genesis yet. It just kind of shows how slow I am. But Genesis chapter number 2, and we're going to look at one verse. God has already made the world by this time. He has already made the animals, the plant kingdom, and then now he makes man, and he gets ready to make woman in chapter 2, Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. How many single ladies would say, it is just not right for a good-looking, rich, spiritual young man to be alone? And God says, I will make an helpmeet for him. And then in verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Someone said he looked at Eve and said, whoa, man. And that's where we get that word from. I don't know about the Hebrew or the Greek on that. I'm not sure. Let's pray. Father, would you bless this time? Maybe it's a lecture. Maybe it's a talk that I wish every dad or every granddad could have with their kids. And most of us didn't have that, so I pray that you would just help today. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in Bible college, there were all sorts of jokes that we would tell. And so the one that went around our college was this. What is the difference between a girl at our college and a garbage can? Someone says, what? The garbage can gets taken out once a week. So they outlawed that joke. You couldn't tell that joke anymore. It was not Christian or spiritual. Then the girls came back with this one. They said, did you hear about the man-eating lion that got loose on our Bible college campus? Man-eating lion. It starved to death. I thought that was kind of neat. Heard about a woman. She was in a store, and this man was doing a little shopping, and he went around the corner, and he saw this lady kind of poke her head around the corner and smiled at him real big, and he went around the other corner, and she kind of stuck her head around that corner and smiled real big and looked like she was kind of stalking him, and she was smiling. He said, excuse me, do I know you? And she said, no, but you remind me of somebody. He said, who do I remind you of? And she said, my third husband. And she just grinned. He said, your third husband, how many times have you been married? She said, two. Heard about these four Bible college couples. They were, and I don't know what y'all do here, Doc, if it's dating, courting, betrothal, you know, every part of the country, you know, dating's evil, betrothal, just prearranged marriage. I don't know what you guys do here, but there were these four couples at a table at the same Bible college, and one couple was from Golden State, and the guy looked at his girl, and he said, would you pass the sugar? Sugar? And she smiled, and she passed the sugar, and about that time, a couple from West Coast, the guy looked at his girl and said, would you pass the honey? And she grinned. He said, honey? And about that time, there was a couple from Providence Baptist College, and the leader of the college is a great hunter. And he said, would you pass the venison, deer? And she passed the venison. About that time, there was a guy from Crown. And there's not much left on the table. He's looking around. He looks at his girl and said, would you pass the tea bag? And so there is a lot to learn from some of these things here. Maybe you heard these pickup lines, and girls, you always want to run from a guy if he uses any of these. Is your name Grace? You're amazing. I read in the book of Numbers, and I just realized I don't have yours. I know why Solomon had so many wives. He never met you. We're like loaves and fishes. Maybe God could do a miracle with us. Call me a prophet. I can see you and me together. Are you tired? You've been running around in my head all night long. Girls, here's what guys do not like. They do not like loud girls. They do not like being chased. They do not like a girl always in the mirror. And they do not like a girl who's never in the mirror. Outside of salvation and your vocation, what you're going to be, the greatest decision you will ever make is who you will minister with the rest of your life. Out of all the counseling I've done in 37 years of being a pastor, about 99% is marriage counseling. People who are upset with each other, angry with each other, yelling at each other, screaming at each other, not forgiving each other. I hardly ever counsel singles. And I just want to say this. If you're not happy single, you will not be happy married. It complicates things. If you're the type of person thinking, if I just get married, it will cure all my problems and then I'll be happy, you are way wrong. Because if you're not content with you and the Lord, you will not be content with someone else. It is not God's plan that everyone marries, but for the most part, most will. It's kind of like we have a son named Stephen. When our boys went off to Bible college, we said, fellas, I said, the Ray household, it's three qualifications. If you marry a girl, she needs to be beautiful, she needs to be spiritual, and she needs to be wealthy. And so Stephen called one day, said, Dad, I met this girl and, I think I'm kind of interested. I said, all right, the criteria. He said, Dad, she's beautiful. I said, okay. He said, she's spiritual. I said, okay. And the other one, he said, get this, her last name's Rich. I said, all right, Stephen, marry her quick. And I never kept up on all the fairy tales, but there was one about some guy, and I probably got it all mixed up, I think he called her Beast or something like that, and he danced with her to midnight. Then there was a pumpkin that fell on her, and her shoe fell off, and it was glass or something like that. And he kept trying to find the girl that the glass slipper would fit on her shoe. Excuse me, fit on her foot. You remember the story. And that's how he found her. I think it's Cinderella. I just want to say this. Whoever God has for you, the shoe will fit. It will be a good fit. The Bible says a prudent wife is from the Lord. You study the word prudent, it means a good fit or a good match. It's kind of interesting. I want to give you several statements today, maybe a sermon, maybe a lecture on how do you find the right one. God is real smart. 7-8 billion people on this planet, He knows who is best for you. And we'll talk about that. Introductory statements, here they go. Number one, marriage is good. That's what God says. Marriage is good, the bed undefiled. It is a good thing. You hear a lot of horrible stories. Heard about one woman in Brazil. She got so angry at her husband. During the night, she stabbed him to death. And then she cut him up in little pieces. Then she baked him in the oven. And then she ate him for breakfast. Fellas, don't get your wife that angry. It's not healthy. Number two, anyone can marry if they stoop low enough. The goal is not marriage. It's to get the right one. Anybody can get married. Statement number three, beauty can be vain. Proverbs 31, beauty is deceitful, a favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It's not just the looks. Heard about a woman, she could sing beautifully, sang opera. So her husband married her because of her beautiful voice. They got married, went on the honeymoon. She rolled over the first morning. He looked at her and said, sing quick. Heard about the guy, he married this beautiful, beautiful girl. They go on the honeymoon. He carries her through the door, the motel, closes the door. She said, wait just a minute. She opened the top drawer of the dresser drawers, and she unscrewed her wooden leg, and she laid the leg in the drawer. She took her wig off and put it in the drawer. She took out her teeth and put them in the drawer. Took out her hearing aid, put it in the drawer. Took off her false eyelashes, put it in the drawer. The poor guy said, do I get in the bed or do I get in the drawer? I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Number next, it boils down to trust. 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, in the old time when women trusted the Lord, talking about Sarai, Sarah, Abraham's wife, is God big enough to bring you the right person? Or must you get on the internet, some dating site, good looking girl, looking for good looking Christian guy, long walks, read books, like chihuahuas, please send me a picture and let's privately meet somewhere. Is God big enough to give you the right person without you having to lower your standards, leave some buttons unbuttoned on your blouse, hike up the skirt to reveal your thigh, give your phone number to strangers? Is he big enough where you don't have to do that? I have to say a resounding yes. God is big enough. He loves you more than anyone in the whole world. He knows who the fit is. You don't have to chase someone. You don't have to sneak around. You don't have to lie to your parents. You don't have to meet someone secretly. You can be who you're supposed to be for the Lord, and God can give you the right person. Not only that, but this too. Use the authorities in your life. Use the authorities in your life. When we were kids, years ago, it was a different day. Your parents would say, here's the key to the car and enjoy the date. Well, we don't believe that now. It's a lot of temptation. We don't believe most young people have enough sense on their own to pick out who they ought to marry. How come? Because daddy can spot a wolf and mama can spot a Jezebel. You want to use the authorities of your life. Now, we parents do not believe in prearranged weddings. Aren't you glad we don't live back in those days? Hey, I'm home from school. Good. Here's your wife. What? Well, you slammed the door and didn't take the trash out, so that's your wife. That's your punishment. Man, can you imagine? I remember my mother. She'd say, Mike, have you seen this cute little girl at church? And I'd always say, Mom, have you seen her close up? So we don't believe in prearranged weddings, but here's what we did. We told our daughters, we said, it's going to be kind of like a corral. You know where the horses go? We will herd in all the potential mates, and you can pick anybody you want. That's a lot of freedom. And then we said, and right now, there's no one in the corral. We used to sit the girls down when they were young teenagers, and we would say, girls, yes, Dad, the guy, yeah, the guy, you're going to marry, yeah, the guy we're going to marry. And I said, is, yeah, he is, probably, yeah, Dad, come on, already alive. Well, I would hope so, and that's what they would usually say. You want to use the authorities of your life. If daddy says, mm-mm, leave it alone. If mama says, don't like her, leave it alone. They're going to see some things you don't. If the authorities in your life, school teachers, youth leaders, pastor, he's just getting out for life imprisonment, mass murder. Nah. He's got 5 illegitimate kids. Is he over age yet? Have they found a cure for AIDS? Has he transitioned back to a male? Ah! What do my parents know? They know a lot more than what you think. And they love you. Solomon said this to his son. You remember? Solomon said, I can teach you about work. I can teach you about stealing. I can teach you about leadership. All these things in Proverbs. But when it comes down to the opposite gender, Solomon said, my son, give me thine heart. Son, you're not going to think straight when you start being attractive to the opposite gender. So give me your heart. Help me guide you through this land mind of decisions. That's what he's saying. When I grew up, I never got to hunt, never got to fish, but a couple of times. Always wanted to hunt. Always wanted to get a deer. How many hunters here? Any hunters here? Okay. Hey, look at all the girls' hands go up. Wow. I always wanted to kill a big buck with a great big rack. So I finally did about 10 years ago. First one. How'd you kill him? With a rifle? Mm-mm. With a bow? Uh-uh. Blow dart? Uh-uh. Jumping out a tree with a knife? Uh-uh. My Toyota Celera convertible. I was going to teach at a Bible college. It's about 4:30 in the morning. I'm doing 75 miles an hour there on the interstate. And all of a sudden, there's six lanes. There's a cement wall, six lanes, and out of the blue, he jumped over the middle divider and landed and turned to see who was killing him. I hit him, smashed in the front of my car, $6,000 worth of damage, fur, blood, guts. He went into all kind of pieces. People said, did you save the rat? I said, hey, ask me if I'm alive, would you? How many points was he? Not enough. He didn't get the point. He said, what was going on? It was November. It was during something you call the rut. It's when the females are spraying perfume all over themselves. Psst, 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 psst. It's right before the Valentine banquet. Psst, psst, psst. And way over on the other hill, a buck is starting to sing. Doe, a deer, a female deer. And he's not thinking. His mind is on the female. So now he's walking across a interstate. More deer are killed during November than any other time. How come? They're out of their mind. They're not hiding behind trees anymore. They are in the interstate. And during the youth time of years, young people, there are more young people destroyed over wrong and poor and unwise decisions concerning dating, meeting a boy, meeting a girl, running off, secretly texting, sending pictures, sexting, texting, all these inappropriate things because it's so easy today. Text, erase, text, erase, email, erase, send a text, send a pic, erase, erase. No one knows. God knows. And if you cannot control yourself before you put the wedding ring on, you may not control yourself after you put the wedding ring on. So what do you look for? Okay, let me just give you this quickly. If you want to jot it down, you won't be tested on it. What do you look for? Yeah, I'm single right now. I'm not dating anybody. What do you look for? What would you think would be the number one? Don't answer out loud. Some of you are saying, saved, called to preach, called to the mission field, good cook. Number one, you ready? Here it is. Hands down, you ready? Opposite gender. Really? Guys, you married the girls. Girls, you married the guys. But you say, but I kind of feel like, get some counseling. God makes no mistake. If he made you a girl, you're supposed to be a girl, stay a girl. If you're a guy, God made you a guy. He makes no mistakes. Someone sent me a little funny thing the other day. It had a t-shirt, had a rainbow flag on it, and it said, "There's more genders than two." And then at the bottom, it said, "Order your shirt now, male or female." Opposite gender. Number two, write with authority. If the girl's a rebel, she will not follow you, sir. And young lady, if the guy is a rebel and will not follow his pastor, will not follow his parents, cannot follow his boss, he will not get raises and climb the ladder. God does not bless rebellion. Number three, no ditch sins. So what do you mean ditch sins? Every sin's terrible, but some are more addicting. They all start with the letter L. You ready? Lying. Well, I know he lies to his teacher. I know he lies to his parents, but he'll never lie to me. Yeah, right. Lust. If you're starting to get serious with that guy, just bring him to the mall during the summertime when girls are not wearing many clothes. If he cannot control his eyes when he's around you, he probably will not control his eyes when he's not around you. Lying, lust, liquor. Next, lotto, that's gambling. Next, laziness. Well, he just can't get a job. You know, no one's worthy of him. He's 60. He hadn't had his first job yet. Lazy. And we could go on and on and on. Here we go. By the way, girls, you don't marry a guy to rehab him. Well, he just got out of juvenile hall. No one believes in him. And I don't either. You're not a parole officer. Number four, character. You know what I would do if I was a young lady? Well, I'm glad I'm not. But if I was and I went to this college, I'd wait till they had a work day here at the college and I'd just see which guys showed up. You don't want a playboy, you want a work man. And if you're going into the ministry, it says the work of the ministry. It's work. It's not just glamour. It's not just speaking. This is the icing on the cake. Most of it's behind the scenes. It's work. Then ask yourself, can she cook? Before our daughters got married, I made a list of items. They had to know how to cook before we would let them marry. I said, I don't want some son-in-law angry at me because he keeps losing weight and looks anorexic. I mean, it was stuff like black-eyed peas and cornbread. It was fried fish and baked potatoes and salads, and it was lasagna, and it was this, and this dessert, and apple pie, and homemade this, and homemade that, and this, and this, and this. I mean, a whole long list. I said that at a teen camp. After the service, one of the girls walked up and said, "Can I get a copy of that list?" Before the camp was over, I gave out over 200 copies of the list. All the girls, "We want to know how to cook. We want a husband." And then the guys started getting a copy of the list and said, "I'm giving this to the next person I date." You say, "Well, I don't think it's real important." One of my friends was raised in foster care. And he always just had kind of just basic meals, never had good cooked meals. He fell in love with this beautiful girl, and he said, "Can you cook?" She said, "Yes." And he said, "Hot meals?" She said, "Toast." Now, girls, I hate to tell you, toast is not a hot meal. Hot pockets is not a hot meal. Top ramen is not a hot meal. You got to learn how to cook. Man, you're in the South. This is where cooking started. If you can't cook, ask some older women in the church, "How did you make this? How did you make your meatloaf? Give me that recipe." You'll have a smiling husband the rest of your life. Well, does it really matter, cooking? Well, I don't know. God made the first man, put him in a garden full of food. We get to heaven. Guess what? It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is meeting with his disciples, his last night on earth. They have the Lord's Supper. I mean, it saturates the Bible. Food. Number next. Are they attentive in church? Are they attentive in church? If you're sitting next to your, quote, date, and they're texting, this is boring. I wonder who the next speaker is going to be. I can't believe they make us come here for chapel. This is so dumb. I didn't sign up for this. You don't want that guy. If they're not attentive to him, they're not going to be attentive to you. And girls, I hate to tell you, you're going to marry a guy that's a layman, and God may reach down and call that young man to preach, and now guess who you are? A preacher's wife. And he's going to say, open your Bible too, and the crowd's going to hear, and it's going to be you. Okay. That would never happen to me. I'm praying right now it happens to you. Okay. Number next. Are they fun? You know, if you were to describe the college here, Crown or Temple Baptist or your home church, if you attend another church, they would probably say independent, fundamental. Emphasize that fun. Fun. Are you a fun person? One Sunday at church, this one of our church members said, Pastor, I saw this coffee mug and I thought of you. And so she gave it to me. Weird thing. And the handle was a rooster. You know, that's what I've always wanted, a coffee cup with a rooster on the handle. And it said, I rule the roost. I brought that thing home. I said, honey, look at this. They know who the leader is of our family. My wife spoke up. She said, she gave me one too. I said, really? And had a hen for the handle. Hers said, I rule the rooster. Years ago, we were at a meeting. I was flying with two good friends, Brother Tim Rule, Brother Mike Johnson. We flew all night to some preacher's meeting, and we were whipped. We staggered off the plane. We found a restaurant. I think it was a Denny's. We walked in. Brother Johnson, he's a man's man. He's like that Kane, the mayor the other night. I took a picture with him, showed it to someone. They said, which one is the world time wrestler? Anyway, you'll get it later. So where was I going? Okay, so Brother Johnson goes in the restroom, and the waiter comes out, and I said, look, we'll tip you big if you have a little fun with our friend. He's a preacher. He said, okay, what do you want? I said, when you take his order, all we want, sir, is halfway through the order, you to wink at him. I said, we'll tip you big if you wink at the preacher guy. I can do that. Brother Johnson comes out. He's half asleep. All right, I'll take two eggs over normal, and I'll take black coffee and some hash browns. He said, anything else? Brother Johnson looked up. He said, anything else? And Brother Johnson looked up, and the waiter said, anything else? All of a sudden, Brother Johnson is wide awake. And he said, do what? And then the waiter said, I said, is there anything else you want? He went the extra mile. Johnson came out of the seat after him. I've never forgotten that. Number next, look at their family. If you're dating someone or liking someone for a long time and they keep putting off you meeting their family, that's a sign. If you do look at their family and this little tune comes to your mind, you're in trouble. Da-da-da-dun. Da-da-da-dun. And if their little brother's name is Thing, you got issues. The girls, I know no one's ever watched a video. You know, we don't watch movies. We watch videos. But I guarantee you, some person in this room has probably watched Anne of Green Gables. Maybe even Gone with the Wind. And you've seen the kissing scene. You know, back then they had kissing scenes. Now you can't even watch it. It's so wicked. But he swoops her down to kiss her. And she runs her fingers through his hair. Girls, if that's what you kind of dreamed of, you better look at his daddy and see if he has hair. Four stages of hair growth. Bald, fuzz, is, was. You want to see their family. What's their family got to do with him? He was raised by them. 18 years in the same home, same genes. Oft times, as is a mother, so is the daughter, like father, like son. Heard about this guy, he couldn't stand his mother-in-law. By the way, I'll be real honest, I love my wife's mother-in-law. He couldn't stand her. She finally passed away. They put her in the casket. People filed by. The son-in-law walked by the casket. He was emotionless during the entire funeral. Didn't cry. Nothing. Finally, he looks in to see his mother-in-law and bursts into tears, shaking, sobbing uncontrollably. His wife grabbed him and said, "You did love my mother, didn't you?" And he looked down and he said, "No, I thought I saw her move." You're marrying into the family. You get the whole family, the brothers, the sisters, the in-laws. You get them all. Number next, nothing physical. In the day in which we live, here's the order. You move in together, and then maybe you fall in love, and then you have children, and then you get married. Those things never pan out. Maybe you've heard this. I don't know where we get the exact word. Six-inch rule. Six-inch rule. Oh, you're sitting too close to that guy. Sitting too close to that girl. Six-inch rule. Psychologists tell us there's about 6 inches around our body that somehow we feel like it's our right. Nothing should be closer than 6 inches. If you've ever been standing in a line in a store and someone's just right next to you, say, "Hey, man, back up. Man, give me some space." If you were ever in public school and there was a fight, maybe someone pushed you into someone, you know, it's nothing between you and me, but atmosphere. There goes the atmosphere. You know, you start getting in people's face. You know, you see the boxers, you know, they're nose to nose during those photo ops. It's like, hey, you're in my space. Now, same thing in dating. When someone comes closer than 6 inches and they're in your space, it's now sensual. You hear it in music sometimes, some of these liberal churches. Sing grace, how sweet. And it sounds like they're this close to you. Girls, back off. Don't stand that close to any single man. Back off. 6 inches. Someone says, have a Bible between you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That'll keep you right. Yeah, you'll get it later. Nothing physical. Heard about this guy. He wrote this little poem. I pressed a kiss to her lips, and what could I do but linger? I stroked my fingers through her hair, and a cootie bit my finger. Kind of romantic. Heard about a guy. He walked his date back to the dorm in the Bible college and wasn't supposed to, but he leaned down, kissed her on the forehead, and said, "Good night." He kissed her on the forehead. She looked up and said, "A little lower, please." He kissed her on the forehead again and said, "Good night." You'll get that. Nothing physical. You'll do better keeping your hands to yourself, because you're going to draw the line somewhere. If you're never alone, you won't be tempted. You know that hymn, "No, never alone, no, never alone." That's a dating song. You don't want to be alone. If you're not careful, you hold hands. If you're not careful, there'll be an embrace. If you're not careful, there'll be a kiss. If you're not careful, there'll be touching. There'll be more. Everyone draws the line somewhere. You might as well draw it way back here. Just, we're not going to have anything physical. You say, Well, that's weird. Once you say I do, you got plenty of time to figure all that stuff out. And you'll be glad that you did. Glad that you did. Yeah, I'm going to make a confession. I've never confessed in Tennessee. Here it is. You know what this is. Box of Cracker Jacks. I have never eaten an entire box of Cracker Jacks. I know. It's a terrible confession to make. I've had Cracker Jacks. I've never eaten the whole box. Say, how come? It's got a prize inside. And what I've always done, I've just kind of always opened the box. And once I got the box open, I kind of reached down. I'll clean this up, brother. Until I got the prize. Once I got the prize, I wasn't really interested anymore in the Cracker Jacks. Make the application. Here's every young lady, her body, her soul, her spirit. There's a lot of guys who could care less how you look. They could care less who you are. They could care less anything about your family, your relationships, God's plan for your life, what God wants to do, your relationship with them. They just want to see, how fast can I get what I want? Then I'm done with you. Girls, you give the prize to your husband on your honeymoon night. You save it for the one you're going to marry. And you'll always be glad. You'll always be glad. Let's keep going. I got to wind this thing up. Here we go. Ask yourself these questions quickly. How do they treat the poor? My wife worked on a bus route. I saw her holding hands with little poor bus kids. I said, maybe if she can love a poor person, she can marry a poor preacher. Next, are they a soul winner? If the guy doesn't care if people burn in hell, and if the girl doesn't care about the souls of lost men, why would you want to marry someone like that? Why would you want to marry anyone who is too busy to ever give out a tract and ever witness to anybody? Ask yourself these questions. Do they have simple tastes? Girls always order the cheapest thing on the menu. Okay, moving right along. That's quiet. I'll write that off. I don't like that. Next. Do they have a walk with God? And you can tell. Is their Bible worn out? Have they marked things? Do you see a glow about them? Do they talk about the things of the Lord? Do they have a walk with the Lord? Number next. And we must hasten. We're coming down to the landing strip. Here it is. Are they spiritual? Are they spiritual? Had a roommate in Bible college. I'm not going to name him Jim Blaylock. Oh, it slipped out, and I see his members here. He was dating this girl in college, and she was one of the top stellar girls in the college. I still remember her name. And he came back from the date that night, and I said, Jim, how'd it go? He said, man, it was great. Had a great time. He said, you know she's got the book of Mark memorized? I said, the whole book of Mark? Wow. And Timothy. I said, brother. And half the book of Proverbs. I said, wow, that's great. He said, you had a good time? Oh, yeah, I had a great time. He said, you're going to date her again? He said, no. He said, I don't want to marry the Apostle Paul. When I was a teenager, that a guy, I'm not going to name his name, but I know who he is. And back then, you know, there were no cell phones, so you'd write letters. He really liked this girl in another youth group, so he wrote her, and you know, I hope you had a great week, this and that. She wrote right back, and he called a couple times. I mean, it was starting to progress. Then he told me, he said, all of a sudden, man, she stopped writing. I called. She was too busy to take my calls. He said, I don't know what I did. I said, well, tell me about the last letter. He said, I talked about this and this. I signed my name, and I put a Bible verse. Back then, you know, you'd just sign the reference, you know, John 3:16 or Genesis 52, verse 5. That's not in the Bible, by the way. Something like that. I said, well, what verse did you put? He said, I put 1 John 4:8. I said, what's it say? He said, God is love. I said, man, nothing wrong with that. 1 John 4:8. I said, are you sure you put the one in front of John? We open the Bible. I wonder what John 4:8 says. Thou hast rightly spoken, for you have been married 5 times, and the man you are living with is not your husband.
You better know the Bible.
God has a sacred will. John Bishop, who started the Triple S youth camp years ago, I asked him, I said, Brother Bishop, I said, tell me about your courting days. You know, you married Miss Donna, tell me about it. He said, it's the strangest thing. He said, we got real serious when we were in Bible college, and I asked her, so when did you get serious about the Lord? She said, summer of this year, I came to an altar at a camp and said, God, I surrender to your will. I want to marry whoever you have for me. I want to be pure. He said, that's interesting. That's the month I got saved. He said, what day was it? It was the same day. Then they said, what time was it? When she left her seat to kneel and say, Lord, I surrender all, at that moment, John Bishop was walking the aisle in a revival meeting getting saved. That's how detailed your God is. We had a man that got saved in our church. He was the top methamphetamine dealer. He didn't just deal it, he produced it. Many of you adults would know him personally. Kind of slow on that, you guys. You're supposed to be guarding us. Come on. So anyway, he got saved. He said, Pastor, he said, I want to be kept busy. Give me something to do so I don't fall back into trouble. He started printing our gospel tracts. And so all night, two nights, he'd fill up a room with gospel tracts. Well, about that time, I was out soul winning. I knocked on a door, and a lady said, you know, it's kind of interesting. She said, I went to the church when I was young, and she said, I've been out for years, and I found one of these in my bush, one of y'all's gospel tracts. I told myself, if I ever get another one, I'm going to that church. I guess someone put it on the door, it blew into her bush. Well, she started coming. She got saved. On a Tuesday night soul winning, she said, Pastor, who's that guy? It was the guy who was printing the tracts. He said, who's that girl? They started dating. I did their wedding. I told the story. She never knew the guy that printed the tract that ended up in her bush that would get her to church and get her saved would one day be her husband. You know what that means? If you're single, put tracts in people's bushes, and that's what you do. You just put them in the bushes. So I finished with this, just a little testimony. And I don't know how we're going to give the invitation today. Who wants to be single? Stay in your seat. Who wants to get married? Come for. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to pair you up with the invitation. All right, you want to get married? All right, that looks pretty good. All right, let's just pair them up like the Mormons do. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here on this most holy occasion. You take her. Yeah. I don't know. So I was married to the ministry when I went to Bible college. It was all bus route all day on Saturday. It was preaching at a church on Friday nights. It was soul winning on Monday evening and Tuesday afternoon. It was just all ministry. No girls, no time, no dating activities, way out of balance. And so I'm in my master's degree year of college. I stayed, I was single, and I'm 21, and man, I've kind of looked the college over, and there was really only one young lady at the college that said, I wonder if that would work out. And I was always interested because every time I walked past her in the hall, she smiled. The fellas, that's a good sign. If she throws up, probably, you know, she's not real interested in you. We never had a class together. My last semester, we had five classes together. Looked like she was stalking me. I'm sitting in the back of the class. Class is over. It's time for chapel. It took all the nerve I had. And by the way, girls, be kind to the guys if they ask you for a date or an activity. It's hard. The guys have the hard part. We don't like rejection. You know, at least you can say, no, I'm not going to sit with you, but at least you have good taste. Okay. So I took all the nerve I had. I said, Verna? She goes, what? I said, can I save you a seat in chapel? What? Can I save you a seat? You know, do I need to? Can I save you a seat in chapel? She said, okay. First date in chapel. You know how it is. You know, you don't amen anymore, fellas. You don't praise God. It's just, thank you. You're all nerved up. So I said, all right, well, you know, I really didn't get to know her a whole lot. And so I asked her to go to the activity. We had a Friday night. It was called a Singspiration, whatever that is. It means you don't have enough money to take her on a nice activity. So you're going to a park, you're going to sing, and they had hot dogs. And so she's from Maine. I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We thought the Yankees were still the enemies. My mother even said, can't you date a sweet, nice Southern girl? And so I asked her to the activity. She said, okay. We talked all the way to the activity, just talked nonstop. We got there. She's roasted a hot dog and drops it on the ground. Moment of truce. She picks it up, wipes it on her skirt, puts it in the bun. She said, it ain't too dirty. I said, that's a Louisiana woman right there. She even had her teeth, too. So we started spending time together. I said, would you like to play tennis? By the way, girls, let the guy win. Well, it's arm wrestling. I beat him again. You're going to be an old maid. Let the guy win. So we're getting closer and closer, and I know I'm in love with her. So we walk around the lake, and there's this little bench next to the bridge. There's a little bridge there. And we sat down, and I said, just want you to know, I love you. And she said, that's nice. I said, turn your hearing aid up, woman. I said, I love you. She said, that's nice. She wasn't going to say it before she was ready. I mean, I graduated in like a week. We got to set the hook on this thing. We spend more time together, and I walk her to her bus ride on the way home after a Sunday night service. It's cold. I walk her to the bus. I said, again, I love you. And she looked at me and she said, I love you too. That's when I pulled my jacket off, my cape came out, and I flew all the way back to the dormitory that night. She loves me. She loves me. She worked in the dining hall. So her job the next morning was to put, I think, a bowl of cereal on the plate and a banana. I go through the line, bowl of cereal. My banana was written on. It said, I love you, and had a heart. I saved that banana peeling. It's still in my office 43 years later, just all kind of crunchy. No, I didn't save it. I said, she's in love. We better get with this. She worked for a professor in the college, and his name was Brother Weaver. I said, Brother Weaver, I said, you know, Vernon and I are in love, and I'd like to propose. But I don't want her to say, that's nice. Can you just kind of check it out to see if you think she's ready? He said, okay. He said, where will you be? I said, I'll be in the little Liberty Square, this little dining area. I'll be sitting there in that waiting area. Said, okay, I'll check it out. She comes in. Oh, I heard you're in love. Yeah, we're in love. Wow, I wonder if Mike ever proposed, what would you say? Oh, it's way too soon. He says, but what would you say? Oh, I'd say yes. Oh, I'm curious. Brother Weaver leaves, comes to that dining sitting area. I mean, it's a lot of people. He just kind of looks around, makes eye contact with me. All systems go. And then he left. So I went out, I bought an engagement ring. And in our day, you know, the olden day, probably yours too, when you gave someone an engagement ring, you also had to give them a microscope so they could see it, Doc, so they could see the diamond because it was so tiny. My kids give, you know, their engagement person a 2-carat, and not in my day. In my day, it was kind of like you'd walk through the hallway. Want to get married? Okay, good. You know, it just, you know, it was not as dramatic. Two of my kids have been engaged on the top tower of the Golden Gate Bridge. One of my kids was engaged flying over Napa Valley in a hot air balloon. I mean, how do you top that? And you, Dad, I guess we'll rent a rocket ship with Tesla and get engaged on the moon. So I sent her some flowers that morning, kind of softened the blow. Said, hey, let's take a walk. She said, okay. And I'd already figured if I proposed and she said, that's nice, she was going in the lake. It just looked like an accident. So we walk around the lake. We sit down on the bridge. And this is going to sound corny, but here it is. I said, Verna, I'm a preacher, and we preachers give invitations. It's pretty corny, isn't it? I said, I'm about to give an invitation, and I only want one person to walk the aisle. Then I dropped to my knee. By the way, girls, if he won't get on his knee, you got to train him well. Heel. I got on my knee, pulled out that little box, that little diamond, and I said, will you marry me? And she said, yes. It's been 43 years. Have I been perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? I'm sure I have. Has it been a wonderful journey? It's been over the top. We've gone places. We've been places. God has spoiled us. We've won souls together. We're the sweetest kids I've ever met. We've met people. We've got to meet you today. That is God. It's a wonderful thing. But you got to get the right one, or it's the most miserable thing in the whole world. I don't know where you are today. I hope you're letting your parents and your leaders guide you through these times. If you've never, ever made a covenant with the Lord and said, I'm going to be pure, I'm going to give my body, soul, spirit one day, I'm going to save myself for that one person, it'd be a great decision to make today. And for those of you that are maybe seniors in Bible college, don't get senioritis. You're a single teacher. You graduated. The right one didn't come through. You know, God's big. He could send a member here. He could send a member to your church. He could send a single staff member to your church. God is still working. Be patient. Don't be impatient with him.